Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The Lord is good to us. I give to Brother Craig some copies who have been studying the Christ, the mystery of God revealed. And I gave a copy per household. One of it is the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ, a little booklet. So you can just read it. And also, a few days ago, I gave you a copy of the manuscript of the forerunner of the Reformation of Martin Luther. And that was on 1452 by Savonarola. And that's the introduction of it. So this goes with the document that I gave you of the manuscripts. I hope that at least describes his history, who he is, what he has done. And I hope you're going to get a blessing out of that. Now, we have been studying that tape, Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, and I believe it to be the biggest revelation that you can have is to have the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's not only to have the knowledge of it, it's not only to have the revelation of it, but to have the power of God so you can fulfill that revelation. The more and more I look at Christianity, looking back at church history, I'm sorry, it's a little hot here. What I see, the importance is not how many doctrines do you know, but the importance is how much you fulfill what you know. Because what good will do for me to know all the mysteries and not be able to fulfill it? And that takes the Spirit of God to do it. And I believe if God revealed to us what we are, then it's a miserable state until it's fulfilled according to the Word of God. You see, we know sometimes we do this that's wrong, we do this that's wrong, and we know it's missing something. And probably sometimes we go to church and we say, now I'm going to church and I'm going to fulfill the whole thing. But that's not it. It's something beyond that. A church, the only thing I can tell you, if it's a true church, not a system, will help you to start seeing your condition before God. But to correct that condition takes the power of the Holy Ghost in you to be able to do it. And if this doesn't happen, the only thing you do, you create misery. And I'm praying so the Lord will help us to start seeing a little more clear what God has done. And we call it the mystery. And last week I just mentioned, you know, Wednesday, should I say, about a few points of mystery. And I said I will bring you the scriptures related to that, and then we'll get to the mystery of the Lord Jesus Christ. In that, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, you'll find it in Mark 4:11. Mark 4:11, if you write the scriptures and you study at home. Now, the mystery of the resurrection, because we are believing one day in the resurrection. I notice quite often when a person dies, We cry, we have sorrow. But Paul speaks to us and he says, don't be sorrowful. As a Christian, you have the hope of resurrection. And that resurrection is a mystery, and it's on 1 Corinthians 15:51. The mystery of the gospel. You see, it's a mystery. The world cannot figure it out. They don't know what's happening. It's Ephesians 6:19. The mystery of iniquity. We find in 1 Thessalonians 2:7, about 3-4 more to go. Mystery of faith is 1 Timothy 3:9. 1 Timothy 3:9. The mystery of godliness is 1 Timothy 3:16. The mystery of the seven stars is Revelation 1:20. The mystery Babylon is Revelation 17:5, and the mystery of the woman is Revelation 17:7. So when you go home, try to do some reading on these scriptures. And this morning I like to see, first of all, the mystery of God being fulfilled. When we see God, God has attributes. In these attributes, he cannot have the attributes without having an object to fulfill them. And God knows that. And he tells us so in his word. We know that God is a healer, but unless a person is sick for God to manifest its healing, then you say, what kind of an attribute is that? And remember, as human beings, we are so limited. God is a savior. You say, now, I go to church, I do this, I sing in the choir, I do this, I do that. But this is not salvation. Salvation is restoration back to God. What God is restores you back to himself. So now all these attributes of God ought to be manifested. And God makes, should I say, a being, which is called a man. And he makes him in a way of free moral agent. He says, you have the right to decide. I tell you what not to do, but you have the right to decide. But when we come to the point we decide ourselves and we know that it's far away from God, when God says do it and we don't do it, we know there's a penalty to be paid. Some time ago, I was preaching about being deceived, and we said, what we sow, we will reap. And I pray so the blood of Christ will cleanse all our sins. I believe that, and I pray for that, because that's serious sin. But sometimes we look what man is doing. And I remember in 76 and 77, everybody was excited the Lord can come any minute and so on. The people went out and buy stuff from the stores and run their credit cards to the top, and then they came back and said, the Lord is coming. We don't worry about it. Brother Herb knows about that. But you know, there was a time you have to pay the bills. And the Lord didn't come 77, and the people had to pay the bill. What they sow, that's what they reap. So now God make that man, and look at this man. You look at yourself in the mirror, you got two eyes, two ears, and you look at yourself, all the attributes that's in you. You says, what is all about? Why I was made like that? And when you go to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, or should I say the first chapter, the 27th verse, we see, and so God created man in his own image. God didn't take just by an accident a bunch of dirt and make something. Because you see the word form, and I believe when God formed from the dust of the ground, that statue there was exactly how man looks like. It says God is an artist, God can do everything. And you see here that God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. He says male and female created he them. So we know that by looking at yourself, you're a creature of God, right? You know, that's how God wants you to be. And God is a savior. God wants to be worshipped. And the reason that God made you like that is to be able to worship God. God didn't call a fly or some kind of a bug, something like that, to worship me. He makes something in his own image. And he makes the creation, and he says, here it is, I prepare everything for you, Adam and Eve. It's right here. That's your kingdom. Name the animals. Do this. Do that. The same way that Christ is preparing a place for his bride. That's what Christ promised us. So in the scripture, when you start running through and you look, you try to see why Christ came down to die. Why God make a body, flesh. And you see the three things that God wants to do. Number one, to reveal himself to the people. You know, you cannot see God. God's a spirit. But he make a body, came down, and dwell in Christ. The scripture tells us that in him dwelleth the fullness of the divine nature bodily. So God makes a body, comes and dwells, and we look at this body and say, why? Because God wants to reveal himself to the people. But the people are so proud they cannot see it. You know, we are in such a rash condition. such a pressure at work, at home, the phone, this, that, constantly, that we have lost the sense to stop and look at a flower. We don't have that sense anymore. It's gone. We don't even know if we have a neighbor until we read the paper that somebody died next door. That's how we live. But that's not the way it's supposed to be, you know that? Because we need one another. We think we don't, but we need one another. So God created man. A man got the Spirit of God in him, his characteristics. Everything was in Adam. And we see now that the fall came, and God tried to reveal himself. And then he wants to have the preeminence. With other words, the word there, perohi, who means above everything. To acknowledge him that he's God. To worship him. To know that God doesn't permit anything to happen in a Christian unless he knows it and permits it. To know that. You know, it's peace in there. It's confidence. Job, look at himself with all the trials, and he says, naked I came, naked I will return, blessed be the name of the Lord. Today, if we lose a dollar, we try to kill somebody for a dollar. You see, you are so self-centered anymore. We don't have left any room for peace in us anymore. Why? Because after the fall, Satan comes in and tries to destroy everything that God had made. But God says, I will restore that. And that's the reason that he sent Christ. You say, Brother David, what does it mean, the word image? The word image comes from the word icon. Now, sometimes you hear in the ancient, reading the ancient literature about icon, they call it. That means a picture. And when God created man in his own image, in his own icon, means that if you look at a picture, you say, that's John Doe. Why? Because you see him. When Christ came down, the Creator, because through him all things were created, he looked like you. You got two eyes, two ears, because you and I were created in the image of God. So now God comes and he says, I want to have the preeminence, and then I want to restore the kingdom in its right position. What are they supposed to be? Why? Because they sin. God says, don't do it. And we should learn one thing. Many things we do because we don't want to. But we have to have always our eyes in the power of God that can raise us up again and keep on going, and says, Lord, help me not to do it again. Because if we fall in self-righteousness that says, I will not do it, I will not do it, I guarantee you, before you get out of that door, you're going to do it again. Because you need a power beyond your power to be able to help you to go. That's where peace comes. You see? You look at a dead person like I mentioned, and took nothing with him. Nothing at all. They're gone. Where do they go? It depends where they are. Now, that's where they went then. Unless God changes them later. So in his image now, I'm just glancing through because I know that these materials can last for years, going on and on and on. And when we start looking about these three, I say, classes or three areas that God is working, we can see now that God created man, and the creation was different than anything else on this earth. Because man was the ruler. I think sometimes about the wisdom of God that gave to Adam. You say, oh, nothing. But Adam named every animal. You say, I can name every animal. You won't be able to start with number one. You look at an animal look like that, you might call it Chichi or something. You don't know. But Adam gave a meaning on every name that he named every animal. You look at a hippopotamus. Comes from the word hippo, who means under, and potamus is the river. The animal that goes under the river. Everything had a meaning. And every name has a meaning. God changes names. He changed Abraham to Abraham. Saul to Paul. He called Timothy. Timi is honor. Theos is God. The man that honors God. There's a meaning in the name. So now God created, and man is the creature that's related to heaven and no other creature that we know. It's to serve the rest of the creatures. But God was making the image of God. Man was made in the image of God, I'm sorry. I'm just wondering, if you look at your life and I look at my life, are we the image of God? Are we reflecting His glory or are church members? Something to think about, right? You know, our minds, our actions, what we do, what we say. And I believe we need the grace of God every minute of our lives. We're so self-righteous sometimes we cannot look at ourselves. How do we look at? We see our mistakes. We don't want even to admit that we make them. Sometimes we are blinded to our mistakes because we are so proud, so selfish. We don't even see them. We just bypass them. No wonder you have big problems. The problems is not out there. The problems is in me and in you. If we can ever overcome that by the power of God, God will take us somewhere. So now God created man and wants to restore the man. And what I like to do probably, normally you get up and preach a sermon and refer to a couple of three things. I want to get probably in a minute, if I can, to an area that we can see what God was doing. And I might use probably the original text and translate word by word one verse just to see the magnitude of it. Because God's word is perfect. Nothing changed on the word of God. God is perfect. And we know that God is a spirit. Do you know that? You see people think sometimes, he says, the true believer, he speaks in John 4:23 and 24, must worship God in spirit and in truth. There are many people that worship God only in spirit. And they can live like the devil. They're good charismatics probably. But he says in spirit and in truth. If you take truth and how God wants to be worshipped, and he says you are his image, and you look at it, you are afraid even to raise your hands up and says, I'll worship you, Lord. You know why? Because you say, I'm a liar. That's true gospel. He asks in spirit and in truth. So often, we let the spirit fall for the just and the unjust, and everybody rejoices. But let's look at the word of God in our hearts and says, am I right before God? Where do I stand? What is happening to me? Look at me. I got to make another step closer to God. What hinders it? If God reveals it to me, there's something I must do. I got to get moving. I got to pray. I got to be more serious with God. I got to do my devotions more. I got to go to church and pray more. I got to go earlier. Says, Lord, prepare my heart so the Word can have a place in it to convict me. Correct? That's what the church is about. The church is not an entertainment center. It's not because a bunch of choir is standing up and sings. No, at all. Simplicity. Christ comes and walks in this earth, nothing to see to admire it. The scripture tells us there was no beauty that he can be desired. And that was the creator of heaven. So now God wants to restore you and me. And if you want, when you go home, I'll give you a couple of areas to study. Then I'll get to the scripture. Just you know what I'm doing. When you go to Isaiah chapter 1 and 66, the emphasis is not the outward, but the inward work of God. Not what's outside. Not, oh, I wear the best dress. I wear the best suit. What this has to do with God? A bum. That has nothing. He doesn't know right from left. Can reach God and an educated can lose it in a minute. Won't even see it. Because that's simplicity in God. But remember, these attributes, we don't have time to compare Satan coming with Cain and so on, but I can compare the two, how they travel together. But watch now what we're saying. Now, you go also to Isaiah 29:13, and also to Ezekiel, the last portion, and read to see how the external things sometimes become a religion. We make religion. I did this. I did this. I did that. Who is I? You and I, we are nothing. Sometimes we try to impress somebody with ourselves. Well, if you go, you go to the dust like you came from. And there come what you are. If it's pride and self and glory of self and so on, you go to the wrong place. God now looks in these places. And also read Micah, the 6th chapter, the 6th to the 8th verse. I'm just giving you some reading materials about it. So God now created man. Man doesn't want to humble his heart. God says, I don't want the sacrifices that you give me. I don't want all these things that you kill. Read these portions that I gave you. I want a broken spirit. I want a humble heart. I want somebody to acknowledge me that I'm Jehovah. I want somebody to worship me. Not with a charismatic power to jump up and down and feel good, which is all right. I have nothing against it. Make sure that the Word lives in you. That's where you come. You don't live anymore. The Word lives in you. So God looks at these things. Now, when we start seeing the glory of God, I try to define glory, and I come with it. The more I read, the more I come with a couple of three areas, and I give you scriptures. It's an adoration of praise ascribed into worship. Adoration of praise. God looks at you. God looks at me. And he says, I want to see you to praise what I am. How many can do that today? I think if we got the fullness of the revelation, we'll fall on our knees and scream. But God is God and makes ways through grace to restore us back to himself. So when you start looking at what God has done, and then you start moving to an area that I would like to get into, that's Colossians. Let's open Colossians together. The 3rd chapter, and I'd like to dwell on that for a few minutes. Colossians 3, the 10th verse. Let's start from the 9th. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. He speaks about an old man. You say, Brother David, what is that old man? That was backslid Adam and you and I, from the original image that we were created. So he says, don't do that. As far as God is concerned, you put it off. If you don't lie, he said. If you lie, you fail God. Do it right. Repent. Right? No matter how white is the lie, how little thing is it, it's still a lie. Right? It's pollution. He says, don't lie to one another. Now listen now what he said. I'm reading King James now. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Let's look at this verse for a few minutes, a little different this morning. The 10th verse. And he says, and put on. Now, you know something? You can take a jacket and put on and cover who you are. And you say, that's me. You put another jacket, you feel different. That's what I am. You put a raggedy coat, you say, that's what I am. But if you go and start studying that, you find the word there, enthisamene. Enthisamene means you get in. No, you put on, but you get in. You get in where? To Christ. And you cannot get in the way that you and I are, because we are sinners. We need to be saved by His grace. We need to be kept by His grace. We need to be purified daily by His grace. We need to confess our sins to Him daily. And it's not a religion, but it's life. So you enter to Him, and that word there, He says, to go into, to enter, to implicate in a matter. With other words, you get involved with something. You're part of it. You get into that. Somebody says, it's none of your business when you get into it, right? Stay out of it. But now you see, He says, for you and I, not to just put a code of religion, not just put a code to say, I'm this, I'm this, I'm that. You're nothing to begin with. That's what the Scripture tells us. If we think we're something, we're nothing. What do you really do? You have to get into Christ. Now, you remember, in the background, the revelation of Jesus Christ, we'll find out the means in other services later on, why Christ came down, how you get into Him. So now it says, you get in. To do what? To neon, you meet the new. There's something new that you get into. And then He says, anakenumenon is a pygmosyne. Anakenumeno means that has become new. You know? She says, one time, you were no good. You were a sinner. Now you got that word anakenumeno, who means what? To renew or to restore something that has been restored. You take an object. You take something that's broken or something, you know, can be restored back to the original. Then you say, that thing existed one time, and Christ came to restore it back the way that it was before it fell. Oh, you say, Brother David, I'm a new creature. I know that. But you see, God tells you to get into Christ, not to just put religion, not to just put your name on the book. Everybody has put their name on the books. It means nothing but to be in Christ. And when you get into Christ, then what happened? Something happens to you. The old man is gone. The new man is coming. Why? Why? You enter into Christ. No time to get out together. You see, for Christ died. He just didn't die on the cross only. You are in Him. Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. When He died, I was in Him. That's it. So now, what God expects for me to do? He says, get in. Where? To Christ. How do you get in? I'll get in. By faith, salvation, of the plan that He has provided. When we get right straight to the revelation of Jesus Christ, Colossians 2 and so on, you'll find out what Christ has done in redemption. But He says, I want you to get in. To get in where? Something has been restored. It's epignosis into the knowledge. Gnosis is I know. Epignosis is I really get into it. I'm in it. That's it. You got to know something. What do you want me to know, Lord? Listen to what He tells you. Katikona to ktison to self too. To the image, not of Adam, of Him that made me. So He doesn't say just be like Adam, but just be the image of your Creator. You remember many tapes Brother Brown speaks about? The slave, he says, that walk like a king, the king's son, and so on. We are not supposed to say that, oh, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. No. I want my life to be transformed daily. Not to the image of Adam, but to the image of Him that created Adam. This is more than Hallelujah Corner, right? This is coming down, facing yourself. And I'm facing myself and I say, what I have been doing in my life? Every voice is screaming, be this, be this, be that. But what about if we go to the Word of God and see what He said? Because that's what the foundation is, right? I was trying to look another translation that it's not really a Bible, and I got sick and I closed it. I should leave it alone. Seems to me everything man is doing polluting. We try to put more translations to make it lovely for the people, but God gives demands. And he says, you get in him. That's it. That's your only place of salvation. Quit being an audience. And what is it, Brother David? You see, you remember when I mentioned the word anakenumenon, who means to come back, to be restored. You remember to renew, to restore. That's the restoration ministry that God is doing. He wants to bring you and me to restore us back in the last days, not on the level of what Adam was, but the image of the Creator that made Adam. I love that, don't you? Demands there, great, correct? Who can meet them? God has to do the work, and not me and you. That's why he came down. And from day to day, we get closer to him. People sometimes say, oh, I got an experience of this or that or that. The question is not, I appreciate your experience. The reality is the fruits of it. Have I entered into Christ? Am I manifesting the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ? This is bride material. This is the things that you cannot impersonate for anybody. You got to have it or you don't have it. If we don't have it, let's get closer to get it. By his grace. Don't look at yourself. Look to him and keep on going every day. If you look around to one another, the devil will point you all kinds of mistakes and problems. You know what? That's how you destroy yourself. But I went one time and I saw him and he was a Christian. He did this, he did that. Forget it. Probably he was only an outward believer. He just wore a coat. I'm talking about the ones that enter into Christ. They got such faith to be able to die for the faith delivered to the saints. You remember Hebrews? These people were willing to pay a price. What are we doing? Are we manifesting as a church the glory of God? How would you like to be Jehovah? Look down, the Creator of heaven and earth. He can speak anything to existence. He can destroy anything. How would you like to be God? He says, John Doe, Betty Jones, David Mamet, who was supposed to manifest my glory. Look at him, what a mess he is. Have you ever thought of every act, of every thought, everything that you and I do, if we manifest the glory of God? It will change you probably, you know that? It will calm you down, send you to your knees, and cry like the prophet did, woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. So now God takes it. He says, I want you to do one thing. Let me read that again. Katikona to ktisondos afton. I want you to be to the image of him that created you. How do I know how he looks like? When you get to Christ Jesus, you're going to find out how he looks like. We're so starchy and we claim to be Christians, and we claim we have everything, and I'm afraid we have very little. The image of him at the cross, they were spitting at him. He didn't raise up to fight. He let them do it. You, somebody touch you or doesn't say hello to you, I'm going to tell you. That's how much we get. You see, Brother David, that's hard. That's true. You have to have a goal where you're moving into. If you don't, you die in the wilderness. You have to have an object to get moving to. You cannot substitute religion, like I said. You study through and study the life of Israel. God gave them covenants. This covenant, this covenant, until you find the New Testament covenants. Israel always make a mess. God said to Abraham, he says, because thou have done that, you didn't spare your son Isaac. Listen to the contract of God. You have done this. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. In other words, the contract, the covenant is unconditional between me and you. I'm going to do it. All nations shall be blessed. Israel didn't like that. What do you mean all nations? All nations will take the Germans, will take the Africans, will take the Indians, will take the Australians, will take the Europeans. All nations, not even one excluded. All, A-L-L, shall be blessed. Israel says, we got it. Well, what do you mean? We are the people of God. And they missed it. God pushed them on the side. Paul writes, he says, take heed. That take heed doesn't appear there in the scripture. He says, the same thing will happen to the Gentiles. They think they got it. And you can divide Israel probably into three portions that they couldn't understand the covenant. The first one, you see, they became antinomists. Christ comes to fulfill the law. We don't need the law. Throw it away. We're under grace. We'll do anything we want to. But God never breaks His word. Do you know that? The word stands. The only difference, you see, before you tried to fulfill it with the power of the flesh, and you couldn't do it. And now Christ comes and says, I'll come and bring you into myself because I fulfill it. You're going to fulfill it also. That's it. So it became antinomies, Marcion and the rest of them through church history. Heretics all over. Christ comes, we don't need the law anymore. We're out of grace. What grace means? Do anything you want to. But you see, that's not God's attributes. Do anything you want to. You've got to stay with what God said. And you stay with it. The second group comes around now. We know. What was it? The legalist. The legalist is a true example of deception. They go through the law. Do this. Do this. And because you do it by the power of the flesh doesn't mean you go to heaven. Remember that. See. The legalist reads the law. Says, if you don't do it, I'll beat you on the head. Christ comes to give you power to fulfill it. The legalist says, I want you to do it. What about if Christ do it? They don't want to do it. The last group there is the particularistic, which means we are the ones. We are the particular people. We are Israelites. We got it. And God constantly, through the prophet, He said, you look at the external things. He says, take that sacrifice away from us. He says, it stinks before me. Leave me alone. I'd rather have a broken heart, He says, a contrite spirit. I'd rather have that instead of all this maneuvering around. Get the commercials out of here. I want to see where the meat is. Where's the beef? Right? Get all that stuff. And God sees these three things that Israel has done. And what God is doing now, trying to restore the Gentiles back to Himself in the last days. I'm afraid sometimes we might take the last days movement, what God is doing, and try to fulfill it by the power of the flesh, and we'll miss the Spirit. The other group takes the Spirit and forgets the Word. Oh, I got a quote. You got a quote. I can't give you this. I know that. So what? Doesn't mean you go to heaven. Brother David, what means to go to heaven? To be able to enter into Him. And you can get into Him without experience with God. To be able to enter into Him. And you say, I'm the bride. Let me tell you what's the bride. To become the image of Him that created you. God to dwell in you and His Word so much that you're reflecting the Word of God every day. That's serious business, isn't it? But we have to be moving, correct? We cannot just stand still and say, everything's all right. And, you know, pat them on the back, everything's okay, you know. Kind of priest stuff, you know. No, we have to face the Scriptures. You think the world today, the church world, will face the Scriptures today? Absolutely not. They cannot do it if they stand in their heads. They are so confused. When you start looking at what God has done, all creation was given to that dominion of man. Now, by the way, if you want to study something to parallel what I read, Colossians 3:10, when you go home, read Ephesians 4:23 and 24. Ephesians 4:23 and 24 and Ecclesiastes 7:29. Let me look at that Ephesians for a minute if we can do it together pretty soon. We'll close. Ephesians 4:23 and 24. Listen what God said in His Word. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. In other words, don't think like you used to. You know, everything is so selfish sometimes. Everything is so selfish. And so perverted. I know man that says they get his paycheck, they go and buy anything they wanted, they please, and their kids don't have milk. That's true. Oh, I'm the head of the house. The head of the house of Satan, let me tell you that much. There's responsibilities that we have to face, right? We get used to sometimes, this is my paycheck, I've got my paycheck, do you what you want to, I do what I want to, you get a key in the door, I get a key in the door. That is not God's home, that's Satan's home. That's why we've got so many problems. Renew your mind how you think. Paul in Romans says, do not conform with this world. This world's in a mess, but renew your mind constantly, daily. And he says, and that ye put on the new man. That back the same word, you remember, get into the new man. Which after God is created in righteousness and in true holiness. After God. You were created exactly after God. So God can manifest his attributes in you and in me. And we don't want to accept it. We're not willing to face separation from the world. We don't want to face separation from the loved ones. We don't want to face separation from friends. But God said, I want you to get into me. An individual, it's an individual walk and nobody can join you. He said to the husband and the wife, he says, listen, two will be in bed. One will be taken and the other one will be left. I don't care who you are or who she is. It's your relation with the Lord and not the church. Rough gospel, hard gospel, isn't it? God wants to manifest His glory in you and in me. I read a verse now. I'm not going to comment. But you study it and think about it. Turn with me for a minute to 1 Corinthians 11:7. Might be painful. 1 Corinthians 11, the 7th verse, says this. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image of the glory of God, and the woman is the glory of the man. That throws out every woman's lib movement and every devil's that are flying today. No matter we don't have a home. You never walk with two heads. It will not go nowhere. You think of that verse. This is the glory. It's so narrow road. To reality. High deception. You read some of the literature of the old saints that they wrote. Scares you to death. I imagine some of you probably start reading a little bit from Savonarola. I don't know the experience Savonarola has had. I don't know if he went through sin and condemnation, but he got into Psalm 51. And he tears you to pieces when you read the piece. He tears you to pieces. I was talking to Brother Herb. I said, Brother Herb, where are these people today? He says, you can't find them. These minds are not here. You can't find them. I believe it. I believe one in a million, too. I believe as a fellowship, we should start getting moving closer to God. And don't get discouraged. When we get to the grace of God, what He has done, then we'll put it together, how He brings you into Him and how you become the image of Him that created you. Not somebody else. Him that created you. You raise above everything. And then you stand. He says, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Excuse me. People think sometimes the revelation of Jesus Christ is just to clap your hands. No, it's not. It's life. Would you like to have a big revival and everybody jumps up and down, screams, which is all right? They have a great time? Or you want to have one soul that can listen to the word and go home and tell the wife or the husband, honey, I'm sorry. I failed you. I'm selfish. Would you like to have? The emotion will be gone as soon as you walk out of the door. The word stays. The conviction works in it, right? All the time. Keeps on going. Keeps on going. Why? But it's hurting, Brother David. You know, where there's self, it's pain. Where it's pain, the Spirit of God has to remove it. That's the formula. So now we see that this likeness indicates any quality, external or internal, that demonstrates the spiritual conformity of God. Oh, I mean His likeness and so on. You know, we are whistling in a cemetery, you know, scared to death. That's what we're doing. Whistling in a cemetery, you know, the dead are not going to bother me and keep on going, you know. But we've got to face reality. The old man said to me one time, says, David, no matter how high a bird will fly, he'll come down to roost. And we're going to face one day Jehovah. And we're accountable. And I believe if God's word puts it like that, He makes the means to restore us back unto Himself. Become more serious with God. To say, I need God more than ever before. I want Him. I want the power of His resurrection. I want to make sure that I'm dead to this world. I want to make sure that my treasure is up in heaven. How do we glory God? Sometimes things we do. You know? How do you glory God? Look at the family structure. Or you read a few portions of psychological ideas by Dobson and these people. You know, you go nowhere. But you know what? Let the Spirit of God come to His word, come to your heart. Everything changes. Everything. He said to the family, Johnny, Betty, I'm going to read the scriptures today before we start the day. But I forget about it. He's going to give you the strength to do it. And you know, then you'll be reaping the fruits later because the seeds are planted. The conviction is there. I was talking with a man. He has a very high position with the federal government. And the principal of the teachers called me to go to call him to go to school. And I want to talk to him. He said, what about? He said, nothing bad, come over. I was talking to him when I was back in Maryland. A few weeks back, a few months back, I don't remember, 2 months or something. So he went there. He said, we want to know one thing. He said, what is it? She got three children here. Here we try to educate the whole world and we achieve nothing. What makes these three children to behave the way that they are? He was reading an epistle, am I right? Before all men. He said, I do just a couple of three things. I control the world. I keep the kids around me. We play. We do this and that. He said, the problem is all of them are straight A's. They got scholarships, all of them. You know, they don't have to pay a penny. He said, I want to know what makes them. He said, I don't allow any friction at home with my wife because that demonstrates a bad spirit and a bad environment around the kids. I never discuss anybody negatively before my children. Nobody. She did this, she did that. If you want to talk, we'll go to the bedroom and talk alone. It's, I keep people away from the environments that can destroy them, such as TV and so on. He says, you do? Yeah. And he asks, what do you learn out of TV? They bow their heads. It's nothing but problems. Nothing but trouble. Or there might be something good, something the National Geographic might put out. But look what they get in the commercials. In their minds, from the time of their little kids, they're eat up completely. The only thing they know, bang, bang, guns. Kill somebody. The only thing they know, avoid drugs. I was reading an article the other day just to show you where we are. The press is a mess. They found out that somebody was killing cats in a neighborhood. Trying to find who the Humane Society, who did it. It is the way that they kill them, remember, not telling the kids, the way that they kill them, they put Freon out because the Freon is sweet and the cats eat it, drink it, and then they kill the cats. So you know what the kids are going to do. Put Freon for the cats. We train them to do that. No judgment. We don't stop. This is kids. This is adults. What do we teach them anyway? What do we try to do to them? He says, Freon when it's sweet, and the cats drink it, and then they kill the cats. Now, what do you think about that? Is this judgment of an adult? He says, I prevent anything that will harm my kids. I'm not talking bodily, he said. All of them look at each other. They had no answer. He said, above all, I follow the narrow road with Christ. And my kids respect me, all of them. All of them now in college. No reproach. The principal's looks. Try to find the model. Probably a new funding for a new educational program. You know, goes nowhere. You know, that's where Title II, Title V, probably or something. In closing, when Christ takes you in and you become the image of Him that created you, you don't have to worry about anything else. He's working in you, right? He says, that is not what I'm supposed to do as a Christian, as a father, as this, as that. And you follow the path. So much in the Word of God, isn't it? I appreciate the Word of God, don't you? You enjoy this kind of study a little bit? Isn't it? It's there. What does it do to me and to you? I tell you what it does to me. It tears me to shreds. I don't know about you. I swore. Here it is. He said, we're supposed to manifest the image of Him that created me. Everything seems to me about the world. I said to a man one time, there are three things control this world. Money, sex, and drugs or drinking. That's what seems to be the whole mess that we're in. You try to pull out this, you try to pull out, nothing works. Let's fund this. Let's give education. I feel sorry for Warren Buffett when he was running education, education, education. And one of the old-timers politicians, he looks at him and he says, Mr. Buffett, he says, education will not do everything. You need something more than that. The only thing you learn is how to avoid sin. This is what I'm saying. I remember the days at the university. They start at the time, special education, special education. I said, what is that now? He says, I said something, I was probably not polite to the faculty. I said, look, the only thing we're doing now, try to find means to help sin. And then they start sex education. What it is, do anything you want to escape from sin, to escape from getting caught, getting in trouble. That's all we have accomplished. The only thing, we increase sin. And the problem is increasing more. Nobody can stop it, right? Nobody can stop it. Then, what happened? The TV funnels back the same stuff. Crying. This. Give it to the kids. But I'm thankful to Jesus that we can enter in Him. When you get into Him, it's another life, another walk with God. You go to church, you're not a church member. You go to church to just say, Lord, correct me. Help me. I don't want to feel good. Just cut me up. Amen. Let's stand. Let's close in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we're standing here, Lord. We see, Lord, your word, and we see what we are. Lord, I like to say I'm guilty. What it means to confess the glory of God in each one of our lives. I trust your grace, Lord. I don't measure any place. I'm not going to pat myself and say I'm good. I need you, Lord, right now. Lord, help each one of us, Lord. Help every person here this morning. Every family, Lord. Every child, Lord. Help them, Lord, to escape of the wrath to come. Thank you for your word, Lord. Whatever hurts me, Lord, it's all right, Lord, because you're correcting power. And we've got to be corrected to be restored. This is the restoration ministry, Lord. To restore to the image of the one that has created us. Help us, Lord, this day. Be with us as we go to our places, Lord. Touch each one of our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord, to just take something with us to ask ourselves, am I really manifesting the glory of Jesus Christ in me? Thank you, Lord, for this day. Thank you for giving us another chance to look at ourselves and say, what are we are? Commit the rest of the time unto your hands. If there's time, Lord, bring us back tonight to worship you and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We may be dismissed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.